1 Corinthians chapter 11, we continue our study. Tonight, as we finish out this chapter, 1 Corinthians, we'll begin in verse 27. And so I would invite your attention there and ask you to please stand as we look at verses 27 through 34. I want to talk about examining yourself tonight. Verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this study and we thank you for your word tonight. We may understand the significance, the profound significance of the Lord's Supper. Father, I pray that we never take it lightly, but that, Lord, we treat it with the utmost honor and respect. For, Lord, you are worthy of our honor and our respect. We pray your will be done in this service. Open our hearts to understand. Open our minds to receive. And I pray you'd speak to us through your word. Most of all, Lord, we pray your will be done in every life that's present here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we talked about the division that was present in the church at Corinth. And we talked about how you get that division and all that, but tonight we turn more specific. You see, you can't have division in a church and expect it to not show up. It's going to manifest itself somewhere. And that's the case here in Corinth. And in Corinth, that division that we talked about this morning had manifested itself in the Lord's Supper. Now listen, the Lord's Supper is probably... I view it as one of the, if not the most important service that we observe. And at Victory, we observe the Lord's Supper the first quarter, or every first quarter, if you're wondering, if you did not know. But it is a time of very reverence and great honor. It's a time of reflection and examination, so that we can do that very seriously. Now, I appreciate God bringing us to this point so we can talk about it tonight. This is not Lord's Supper night, so I think this is really good. Our Lord's Supper will be in September, the first Sunday in September. But the church at Corinth, let's talk about the offense first. Said in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, I think you probably already know this, but I'm going to make sure that you know it by telling you, okay? Never mistake that phrase, "in an unworthy manner," to mean that you should not take the Lord's Supper unworthily. There is no one present here worthy to participate in the Lord's Supper, okay? We do not earn that right, or there's not a way we can be worthy. Were we not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we would not have a right to that table. So we're not talking about meeting some code that makes us worthy to participate. We're talking about participating in an unworthy manner. Now, how do you participate in an unworthy manner? Well, first of all, it starts in the heart. It's very easy. If the heart's not right, you can't participate in the Lord's Supper as is intended. In Corinth, you see, more specifically in Corinth, it was the rich against the poor. And the rich, they had made the Lord's Supper some kind of feast, and the rich would bring elaborate food and lots of it, while the poor didn't have anything, or they'd have just a little, and they'd bring their own. And that's why it talks about waiting on one another, okay? And so it was kind of this contest that says, I'm better than you. All the focus had been removed from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and it had been turned toward people making it about themselves. And if a believer comes with anything less than to give Jesus Christ the highest honor in the Lord's Supper, you have participated or you're coming in an unworthy manner. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about them. It's about Jesus Christ. And if you treat it lightly with very little thought, that's in an unworthy manner. If you come with bitterness toward brethren, that's in an unworthy manner. With hatred for brethren, that's an unworthy manner. You say, why, Brother Doug? Because we are the body of Christ. We're supposed to discern the body of Christ. We're supposed to understand how we fit into that body of Christ. Even if you come with unrepentant sin. By unrepentant sin, I know, you know, I'm not, again, suggesting that you're meeting some kind of standard. But I'm talking about a lifestyle that is rebellious against the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't participate in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner when you're saying, no, Lord, you have no right to tell me what to do. But instead, when you participate in that way, you become guilty, it says, of the body and the blood of Jesus. And you got to ask you, what does that mean? To be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. Well, the best example that I've seen or that I could even think of, have you ever seen someone take the American flag and throw it on the ground and stomp on it? Or I've seen more than once people take the American flag and light it and burn that American flag. Have you seen that? What did that make you think when you saw that? Don't say it. You know, and some people might say, well, it's just a piece of cloth. No, it's not that piece of cloth. It is what that piece of cloth represents. You have not dishonored a piece of cloth. You have dishonored the nation that that represents. I wouldn't even do that to another country's flag, much more a flag of the United States of America. So when Paul says, when you participate in an unworthy manner, it's like trampling the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet. It's showing absolute disrespect and dishonor to the one that that supper has been dedicated to celebrate. And you know, I think that's something that, I don't know, perhaps is forgotten in a lot of churches. You see, I've seen people today that for example, want to celebrate the Lord's Supper at just any function, anywhere, any time. And I don't believe in that. I started to say, I hope I don't offend, but it is what it is. I've seen it, you know, I've seen the Lord's Supper observed at weddings. You know, just like I say, social functions. If it's about a wedding, it's a wedding. If it's the Lord's Supper, it's about Jesus, and it's all about Jesus, period. You know? And I think when we start blurring those lines, we start participating in an unworthy manner. You see, I think it's supposed to be Jesus front and center. That's why it says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. And this is where, you know, quite honestly, most of us don't want to go. The idea is that we give ourselves to a thorough examination. It's not just, I'm as good as anybody else. I try the best I can. No, it's a time in which we set aside, and quite honestly, we should do it before we get here. That we should set aside that time and honestly and very intensely make an examination of our hearts. That we look at our motives as to why we do what we do. And I'm not just talking about the Lord's Supper itself. I'm talking about everything for the Lord, whether it's teaching a class or attending a class or passing out tracts or whatever it is that we do, that we examine the whys that we do it and the attitude that we do it. You know, if you're like me, sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. You see, that's the idea of an examination. This isn't one of those give you the answers beforehand test and you just kind of go through. No, the idea is that you back up and you take an honest look before yourself and before God and say, God, show me. Show me where I'm lacking. Point out these things that get in the way. Where we honestly look at our attitude toward the Lord and toward the Word of the Lord and toward the Lord's people and just our general overall attitude. A kind of state of the union evaluation, if you will. That's what Paul is suggesting here. And that's what was missing at Corinth, you know. Like I say, it was a division problem and people were trying to be better than other people and people were bitter and Paul said, no. Examine yourself. What's causing that bitterness? What's causing that desire to be better than somebody else? Look on the inside because that's the stuff that derails or gets us off track. Right? Then in verse 29. He gives us another reason for this examination. He said, for he who drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment upon himself. You think the Lord's Supper is not serious? Oh my goodness. It is serious. You see, and when it says judgment, I want you to understand it. It talks about a little later, it mentions you being chastised that we might not be condemned like the world. The word judgments that's used there is not like the condemnation, the judgment of the world. The judgment that's used there is a judgment that involves chastisement or correction. Don't think that God will let this particular sin go unaddressed. And that's participating in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. He's going to address it. Because at the end, this morning we ended in verse 26. It proclaims the Lord's death until He comes. It's our proclamation to the world. Jesus died and rose again. And He said, if you do it in an unworthy manner, you can expect chastisement. And he lists that chastisement. Verse 30, he said, for this reason, many are weak. That word weak, it means fragile. Okay? You know, fragile meaning you're just on the edge of being sick. Not really sick yet, but you're just kind of on the edge of it. It says, many of you are weak. Many of you are sick, and you see a continual progression here. It starts with weakness that, man, I'm just not quite right. But I didn't listen to the Lord. I didn't hear. I didn't examine myself. And it's, for this reason, many are weak and many are sick. It went to the next level. You see, we don't like to think, the world today doesn't like to think that God operates this way. But you know what? I'm kind of glad He does. Because in the interest of complete honesty, I'm a little hard-headed sometimes. I need a little chastisement and correction. And God knows how to do that. But you know, when that chastisement comes, I have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to listen to God. And to take that chastisement and say, oh, that's there and it shouldn't be. To do that self-examination and discover what God's trying to tell me. And when you don't do those things, it goes from weakness to sickness to what? To some of you, sleep. That was not the word for taking a nap. That's the word for some of you are dead. Some have died from it. That's a word used quite often to describe the death of a saint. He's saying, here's the progress. This is what I expect. I expect this examination. I expect this complete honor. And many of you have not. For that reason, some are sick. And some of you have even died. Again, people don't like to think God operates this way. But He does. Continual rebellion. If you want to know God, continual rebellion will not be tolerated. It will be dealt with. And if when God sends chastisement and there's more rebellion, it gets a little more serious and a little more serious. And God is not beyond removing the believer from this world when he's of no more value because of his rebellious nature. And this Lord's Supper is such a precious and dear thing, not only for us, but in the eyes of the Lord. But the good part and the encouraging part is verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Okay? That idea is, when you look at the condemnation of the Lord, you've got to understand the condemnation. And I go back to when I was a parent and disciplining my children. I never disciplined my children to hurt them. Now, sometimes I didn't always discipline my children right. But I never disciplined my children to hurt them. I disciplined my children to get an end result. You know, to bring about the right behavior. That's why God disciplines His children. To bring about the right behavior. To help me or to help you to open your eyes and realize, hey, this is not what or who I should be as a child of God. And as a matter of fact, God's chastisement or God's correction is an indication of His love for us. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. A parent that does not care will not correct their child. You know, in the world we live in today, parents have the misgiving that, you know, their child never does anything wrong and they're always there to bail out their child. And if the teacher tries to correct their child, you know, oh my goodness, the world's coming to an end. You're not doing that child a favor. Same way with us. If God just let us run our own course, He wouldn't be doing us a favor. God has the expectation of righteousness, and He helps us into or achieve that expectation when we need that help because He loves us. So, does this mean that if we're not right, we should not observe the Lord's Supper? This is where it all gets down to. If we're not right, we should not observe the Lord's Supper. Is that correct? No, that is incorrect. If you're not right, you need to get right and observe the Lord's Supper. You see, I have seen people use that as an excuse throughout the years. And I've seen people go extended periods of time without observing the Lord's Supper because of whatever, you know, whatever sin or whatever was going on. I said, well, I just don't feel that I should observe the Lord's Supper. Why? Then they would share. Well, because of this. Well, then you need to get that right. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You see, the Lord's Supper is one of the most precious times to a believer. The Lord's Supper is when we stop And for me, quite often, it is that time that I stop and I go back to a little church in Griffithville, Arkansas, where I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to save me. Because it reminds me of, I could do that because Jesus hung on a cross. I could do that because His blood was shed for me. I could do that because of the love the Father has had for me by giving His Son on my behalf. So don't come to that point again where you think, well, I shouldn't participate because that's just wrong. You should get right and then you should participate. And again, I'm not saying that anybody's perfect and you know, that's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying God has expectations of all of us. And one of those expectations, I believe, it's not only appropriate to examine yourself at the Lord's Supper, but it's appropriate to examine yourself numerous times. I think that's something that's perhaps missing with a lot of believers today, is that just bold honesty of, Lord, will You show me my failures? Lord, examine me. You know, look into me. Show me. That's the idea of an examination. And that's where you grow, quite honestly. That's where you grow in seeing what you are. And looking ahead to what you want to be. You know, I'm very thankful for where I am as a pastor teacher today. But quite honestly, I want to grow in the coming days, in the years, you know. And a year from now, I don't want to be the same pastor I am today. I want to have grown. And growth comes through examination. And so I would challenge this body. We want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all about growing in numbers and receiving new members, and that's wonderful. But I'm most excited about when the membership of Victory is growing spiritually. You can't do that without an occasional examination. Tonight, as we have this invitation, if you're a believer, I want to challenge you. Okay? Let's make tonight a night of examination. Let's pray. Lord, show me where I need to do better. Show me how I need to do better. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Listen, that's what David had to pray. And if David had to pray such things, who are you and I? Right? So tonight, I want to ask every head be bowed at this time, and Brother Michael's going to prepare an invitation. I want to ask, right where you are right now, that you take the opportunity to make an honest examination. Our Father in heaven, Father, we want to be the children You've called us to be. We stand before You tonight knowing that we've all failed in different ways. Father, we want to take this opportunity and just ask You to help us to be honest with ourselves as well as You. Help us to examine ourselves. And not examine ourselves with our eyes, but Lord, with Your eyes. With what You expect of us, Lord. Father, we want to grow in You. And we pray that You would show us our sin. That You would show us our lukewarmness. that you'd show us whatever it is we need to see. And that, Lord, you'd give us a repentant heart. That, Lord, we may serve you faithfully. That we may honor you every time we observe the Lord's Supper, but not just in the Lord's Supper, but every day that we live. For we are your children. Guide us as you see fit. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name.